The reading is from Genesis chapter 28. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set upon the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave until I have done what I promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And I'm reading from Matthew chapter 13. Jesus put before the crowd another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheats and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the household came to him and said, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, an enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, no, for in the gathering of the weeds you would root the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect my wheat first, then bind them in bundles to be burned, but they gather the wheat into the barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, explain to us the parable of the wheels of the weeds of the field. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will be thrown and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Let anyone with ears listen. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We have a gnashing of teeth gospel. I love a gnashing of teeth gospel because it reminds me, and I've probably told you before, but I'm going to tell it again, that wonderful, probably not correct, but wonderful story of Dr. Ian Paisley when he is preaching his hellfire and damnation sermon, and he's shouting at the top of his voice from this passage, and there'll be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. And some poor little chap in the congregation put his hand up and said, "Dr. Paisley, what happens if you haven't got any teeth?" And Dr. Paisley said, "Teeth will be provided." Which I love. What a great story. You probably heard it before, but I really like that story. And it sort of reminds me of my childhood days growing up. Put your hand up if you grew up in a home where going to church and the Christian faith was a regular thing. Put your hand up if that's what. Oh, quite a few. Yeah, it's... I would put my hand up as well. I grew up in a home that was quite strict in our Christian house. So strict, and I'm sure I've said this before, but so strict that I was well into my teens before they'd allow us a television in the house, because that was a no-no. And everything revolved around the meeting, which was what we called church. We didn't say we went to church today, we said, "Are you going to the, we're going to the meeting." There was never an "are you," that was a given, but we're going to the meeting. And it was strange at the meeting. It wasn't like a church building like this, it was very plain. And for me, in my younger days, it was full of dinosaurs. There were the three degrees, three sisters who were ancient when I was young, and even when I got older, they were still ancient then, even more ancient, of course. And they were a strange three spinsters, sisters, that lived together and apparently used to take, it must do good because they all lived to a ripe old age, used to take fish oil or something. What's that thing that people used to take? Cod liver oil. Every 3 hours, even during the night, the alarm would go off and they'd get up, cod liver oil. Lovely. So there was them. There was Dr. Packer, who was a strange chap, who I used to call Tatey Mouth, because he had a mouth that seemed to go like this. And I always said you could fit a kilo of taties in there, or a pound, I wouldn't have said kilo in those days. And his foot used to shake like that. And he had a little car that he used to drive around with a crash helmet. And he once got stopped by the police for speeding. And he said, "Verily, officer, I have sinned." Which made the... And then there were the Fletts. The Fletts were the Scottish people, brothers, that had come down from Findochty. And you got the truth from the Fletts. And then there was my dad's stern looks at me whenever I made a noise. Always remember that. And the old guy that still wore spats. I mean, spats were out of fashion even when I was young. But they must have had clean shoes. But yeah, still wore spats. Christianity, for me, back then, even though I was surrounded by it, even though that the whole raison d'etre of my household was Christianity, it was everything from getting up in the morning to going to bed at night, from eating meals, always said grace at the front of every meal. Everything was the meeting, God, Christianity, everything. Even though I was surrounded with it, for me, it was boring. So boring. the hour and 15 minutes of the morning service felt like 3 hours. And then we were back later on, and don't say that this morning is like 3 hours. And when we were back, we had to come back once a month in the afternoon for a reading meeting, and then the tea together with boiled eggs, and then the gospel meeting. It was just all-encompassing. And it was boring and irrelevant to the life I wanted to live, because it was about what I couldn't do. It was all about avoiding the gnashing of teeth. It was all about being doing the right thing and knowing that God loves you, and so you better understand that or else you're in the fiery pit. It was all about what I couldn't do. It was a world of thou shalt nots. Well, I turned out all right. I reckon Jacob had grown up in the Jewish equivalent, although I must say it was before the Jewish nation had developed. Basically, it was just their family at this point. It was before Egypt, before the children of Israel, before Moses, before the law was given and all that sort of thing. You're not sure where this was in the Bible. It was right in the early days of the patriarchs. There was Abraham, there was his son Isaac, and then there was his son Jacob. And that's who we're talking about today. But they were a God family. God had promised them and God had spoken to them. They would have worshipped God. They would have done the things that whatever the people did in those days to worship God. That's what they would have been, God people. But even though Jacob would have been surrounded by that and heard all the stories of how God had spoken to them and all that sort of stuff, how his dad had got his wife and all this sort of stuff, it sort of passed him by. He was a bit of a trickster, wasn't it? He was out for himself. He wanted the blessing, and he got it. He was a twin, by the way. His brother Esau was the firstborn, but he nicked his blessing and he nicked his inheritance through trickery and through his brother being a bit thick. And so he realized then there was a point after he'd nicked his brother's inheritance and blessing that he'd better scarper. Because his brother was a bit thick, but he was also quite manly and hirsute. And so he decided to scarper. And his dad said to him, well, why don't you go find a wife? We've got some relatives over in wherever, I can't remember, Haran. Go over there and find a wife. And so he absconded. And this is where we meet this story that Janet read to us. That he's... comes to the campsite for the night, he's going to move on the day after, and he lays down and he has a dream. And this dream was amazing. He dreams of a staircase that goes from earth right to heaven, and up and down the staircase are loads of angels going up and down. And then he hears God, and God speaks to him. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And he tells him this great, big, amazing promise of north, south, east, west, about his ancestors going on and filling the earth. It's a mind-blowing experience. And he wakes up in the morning and he's whacked out with this dream he's had. And he says these words, which are really, really interesting. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. Surely the Lord was in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. It's like me back in the old days. And I made fun a little bit of the people that was there, but here were some people the flecks and the 3 degrees and the man with the spats, who actually were loving Christians. All right, they maybe didn't have the same exact theology that I have nowadays, but they were, God was working among those people at that time. And I was not interested. I didn't recognize. And he was Jacob, who was in this godly family, this chosen family. And he didn't understand it. He didn't notice it. He knew it was there, but it passed him by. And I think that's always a danger of church, isn't it? That we can be in a church, but that we cannot notice God's here. He sort of hides in the liturgy. He hides in the stuff that we do. He hides in all the music and everything. And if we're not careful, we can come and have a lovely experience, but go out and not notice that God is working in and amongst us. I certainly could when I was young. And it came to a point when actually God spoke to me. Wasn't in church, that was on the road edge as well. And God says, what on earth are you doing with your life, Andrew? This isn't what I brought you up for. Don't you notice that I'm working? And God made me part of his story. And God made Jacob a part of God's big story. Have you ignored God in your life and suddenly become aware that he's speaking to you? Right, you sat there in the pew, like a light coming down, like a dream. I get told lots of things, and I've heard some wonderful dreams that God has given people, where God has spoken to people in dreams, sometimes in hospitals, sometimes at home in bed, sometimes just impressions that they've had, when God has said, I need to have a word with you. Has God spoken to you? When I look back at my childhood in later years, I look at the old dinosaurs and I thought, well, I wasn't very interested then, but I am now. Something's changed. Something's happened. I've become part of God's story. Jacob named that place Bethel, which means house of God. What a great name. It means house of God. And Bethel became a really important place in the Old Testament. Don't hear about it in the New Testament, but for its time in the Old Testament, Bethel was a really, really important place. It was like the border town between the two kingdoms of Israel and Judah. It was a place of great significance. Is God a place of great significance in your house? God had a plan for Jacob's life, and he would make mistakes. We all do. He would have his good moments, which we all do, and he had his bad moments that we all have. But from that moment on, his story was part of God's story. What a privilege. His story was part of God's story. Is your story part of God's story? If you want to know more, here's the advertisement. We have now finalised details of the START course, which is a fantastic 6-week inquiry introduction course to what it is to be part of God's story in modern Britain. And you are invited, whoever you are, and also you're invited to ask and invite somebody else to come along. It's going to be here at St. Peter's from the 4th of, Monday the 4th of September after the summer. And it's just 6 weeks. It's going to be brilliant. If I can persuade people to bring food, I'm going to do that and we're going to have a really good time together. It's a chance to be with one another and to discover God's story in us personally and in us here at St. Peter's. Amen.